Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Another hour here, the live Sunday episode. You can take control of the airwaves. You can bring up anything that you want. Coming up, protests happening in Germany. I know that Peakless Mountaineer has that story. We'll get into it here in a little while. But we're still talking about the lady who has a hole in her throat from throat cancer. And she was told recently in somewhere in Ontario province in Canada,
Whitby, Ontario,
at the bingo hall, that she had to leave because if she didn't mask up her throat hole, she was going to be forced to exit the bingo hall. And she apparently was, because, well, she wasn't willing to go ahead and obscure her air passage any further than it already is by being coming out of a hole in her throat.
Yeah, that's the part. I don't think it's an unwillingness. I think it's like a live or die necessity.
Yeah.
I cannot cover this hole because that's how I breathe.
Right. Well, we don't want your bingo business.
Which is true.
Is what they said to her.
All right. Elaine Arbo is the lady. Doesn't go out much anymore, her son says, unless it's to play at a casino or bingo hall with her friends.
So this was her one thing.
Right.
This was her one fun thing that she was still able to go out and do. Because she can't really go out and do much of anything anymore.
That's
period.
Part of it.
Even if you are, whether you're 65 or you're, 25, there's really not that much to do. But this lady, she enjoyed going to her bingo hall.
The 67-year-old was excited to see her friends again when Delta Bingo in Pickering, Ontario, reopened following the COVID-19 shutdown.
Get your markers out, head on down to the bingo hall.
Right. But things didn't go as planned when she arrived earlier this month. When she got inside, management asked her to leave.
Oh.
She was told to leave by management if she didn't cover up the hole in her neck.
Can you imagine how awkward that conversation was?
The ball's on that guy.
I know. Wow.
And one of the fun things about this, like...
Just following orders, man.
Just doing my job.
Well, were they his orders? Like, did they have something specifically set aside? So now, just so you know, if someone comes in with a tracheostomy, here's exactly how you handle
right.
that. Or was he just sort of making it up on the fly as he goes along? Like, well, you know.
Probably made it up on the fly
based
on some other rules or regulations that is now going to be codified with tracheostomy.
Did he just assume it counts as a single extra nostril?
Don't know.
It's insane. It's real.
She was told to leave by management if she didn't cover up the hole in her neck, her son Joe Gilbert told CTV News Toronto on Sunday. She explained that was impossible to do.
Yeah.
That's how she breathes. Hello? Gilbert said his mother was embarrassed and didn't want to create a scene, so she voluntarily left. He says that when she got into the parking lot, she started crying.
Aww.
So, again, not being able to play bingo with your friends, 67 years old, fighting cancer, finally gets to go to the bingo hall because they reopen after COVID, and management goes like, not with that hole in your neck, ma'am. My mom was beside herself and floored, he said, adding that his mom felt humiliated by the situation. Gilbert said that when the manager saw Arbo crying in the parking lot, she decided to allow her back in, but at that point she refused. So it was a female manager as well.
Oh, okay.
My mom left, Gilbert said. She was too embarrassed. Gilbert said his mom went home and did some research on the rules about mandatory masks and felt that she was treated wrongly. She decided to go back to the bingo hall this Saturday to try and enter again, but it didn't make it past the front door before being stopped.
Wow.
So again, twice. Like after being invited back, she goes back.
That's amazing.
And they stopped her
again. Hey, come on back in. Just kidding.
Same thing. Well, different time frame, right? Like they told her, you can't come in here unless you cover the hole on your neck, Gilbert said. This time, Arbo, who recorded the interaction with the Delta Bingo employee, was given the company's head office phone number and told to leave.
Wow.
In the video, the employee...
Delta Bingo, was it?
Delta Bingo in some place, Ontario. Pickering, Ontario. In the video, the employee tells Arbo the bingo hall is private property, and they can mandate any rules that they want.
They can. They can be
Wow, total sudden bursts of libertarianism.
Douchebags. They can be total douchebags. They absolutely can.
You are allowed.
They're right.
Even libertarians become more libertarian when it benefits them.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, it's like the argument of YouTube's a free company that can do whatever they want. Never mind how much government enforcement, government investment, etc.
Oh, don't get started on that.
I don't know.
I just think it's interesting to see some hypocritical libertarianism suddenly pop up when it's convenient.
Wow. I have what is alleged to be the video.
Okay.
I'm just going to play it in the hopes that there's not, like, she doesn't start a stream of curse words in this video here. Let's see if it's
through. You're able to enter the premises without covering your neck. It's from head office. So here's the head office number for you, his contact.
By the way, this employee is full on gloved up. He's got a mask on, so it's like a total medical bingo, medical authoritarian bingo establishment now, and that's exactly what you just described happened in the video.
Now, to be fair, given the crowd that bingo tends to be most popular among, that's probably a good business decision there.
To wear gloves,
protective equipment.
Such.
I mean, if I had a business that specifically catered to people over 60, mm-hmm. yeah, I would be really careful on what practices I would use for medical.
But
things.
Unless you're constantly changing those gloves, it's not going to do any good.
That's true.
And I suspect that most of these employees aren't changing the gloves after contact with every single customer, right? Because if you were going to be consistent about it. I would suspect that's what you'd have to do.
Every new dollar bill that crosses your register.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that I think is just astonishing, that no one seems to know that, like, money has always been dirty. Like, has always been horribly dirty.
I think people know that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, of all the Karens in the world, it is one of the rarest things to be like, no, wash your hands after handling money before you touch my food. Which, I mean, strikes me as blatantly obvious. I mean, I've worked in food services,
sure.
And yeah, you need to do that.
Right, and that's what. And when you see somebody in food service who knows what they're doing, they usually will take the gloves off, handle the money, and then if they, you know, don't have a washing ability in that moment, they'll put a fresh pair of gloves on.
Right.
Right? So there are ways to do this, but you're not going to see that level of compliance by these employees. I mean, the whole mask thing is a total sham. It's a total show. They don't give the employees good instructions on how to handle the masks. Everybody's constantly touching and adjusting and touching.
Yes.
You know. And
or wearing it below the nose.
Yeah, and breathing into it all day long and then touching it, and it's just a germ-infested thing. Like, if you're actually concerned about this stuff, then none of this of what's going on is actually doing anything to prevent germ spreading.
I don't know. If I was running a bingo parlor, I'd probably have him with one of those nice clear face shields where you get to actually have a face.
Yeah.
You're less likely to be adjusting it because it's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're in Maine, then you have to wear it upside down like a dog collar.
I would not have them do that.
So anyway, more from the story.
She struggles to tell the employee that she believes she has a right to be there, but is still denied entry. Gilbert said her mom went home in tears and feels strongly that she is being discriminated against.
Yes.
What they did was wrong, Gilbert said. The hole can't be covered because that's how she breathes. She doesn't breathe through her mouth or nose. If you cover it, you might as well take away someone's life support.
My God.
Now, to be fair, right, with the whole mask thing, we normal humans, without holes in our throat, breathe through our mouth and through our nose.
Yes.
And we are being required to cover that up as well in a lot of places. So
I have only done it in one place.
Understood. But you've seen the videos. We've seen the pictures. We've been out and about.
Yeah.
People are covering up their breathing holes. And technically, that's all they're asking this woman to do.
Well, so one thing about that, we covered mask mouth. That happens because people will breathe through their mouth instead of through their nose while they're wearing a mask. Because, I mean, the fact is that you have to exert greater pressure in order to move your gas through this semi-permeable barrier. And since she doesn't even have a mouth, I mean, I could see a serious problem breathing from that.
Okay.
I mean,
it's a problem for me to breathe with a mask on.
Yeah, and ordinary people who I guess it's not a problem for still end up breathing through their mouth instead of through their nose.
You're not getting as much oxygen, clearly, in the case of wearing one of these masks. And it's really sad what they've done to this lady. And she was discriminated against, but It is the right of this business to make that decision, and it's her right to put the word out about these scumbags and
Absolutely.
Let everybody know how she was treated. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE-LIKE-FREEDOM. That's 855-450-3733. If you want to weigh in on the lady with the hole in her throat being told she has to leave if she doesn't put a mask over it, it's Free Talk Live.
News from news.bitcoin.com. U.S. Postal Service files a patent for new blockchain voting method. Warren Buffett changes his opinion on gold. Maybe Bitcoin is next. $6 billion Akon cryptocurrency city underway. Former Prudential CEO says now's the time to buy Bitcoin. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies. Getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com. Subscribe to Bitcoin.com's YouTube channel, too. Divi's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divi's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DiviProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DiviProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DiviProject.org. DiviProject.org.
Got shaving irritation? Shave Secret Shaving Oil can help stop it. Shave Secret doesn't cost much and is an all-American product. My name is Chuck Howard, and I developed Shave Secret and pioneered its use starting back in 1991. Ingrown hairs drove me nuts for years. Shaving oil changed all that. Why put up with ingrown hair? Bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts. Shave Secret provides men and women with what we believe is the best shave ever. Our proprietary blend of 100% natural base and essential oils plus a hint of menthol was designed to help eliminate shaving irritations like ingrown hairs, bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts. We'll lose those shaving irritations. Available at Super Walmart, H-E-B, Wegmans, Giant Eagle, Discount Drug, Navy and Marine Exchanges, Amazon, and ShaveSecret.com. Use the code FTL for Free Talk Live and get a discount. Shave Secret, the best shave ever.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
With a MechTech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MechTech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MechTech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE-LIKE-FREEDOM. It's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. ForkFest 2021. Mark your calendar. June 28th through July 4th, 2021. What better way to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire? Now, you get a little taste of ForkFest when you listen to Free Talk Live, because we broadcast from the event. This year, we were there for both the Porcupine Freedom Festival and ForkFest. So, again, in 2021, ForkFest will happen after the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I did interviews on the last day of ForkFest this year asking people what their preference was, because for the first 3 years, ForkFest was before the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and then this year, which was its fourth year, was after. And
technically overlapped a bit, though, right?
Depends who you ask.
Okay.
So Derek J. said considered both weeks to be ForkFest.
Okay.
Some people didn't agree with that, so it just depends on, you know, who you ask in that case.
Well, you could have showed up to the campground during ForkFest, mm-hmm. but never have bought a ticket and never attended the events, and then you would have been attending
ForkFest. I think there's a strong argument for that. I do. But that's ultimately thanks to the Porcupine Freedom Festival sort of doing a little bit of decentralization this year and opening up the campground during their event, which previously you had to have a ticket
right.
in order to stay on the campground at that time. But ForkFest has never required tickets. There's no way that it could ever require tickets that I can see, because it's not an organization. It's not a board of directors. There's not some sort of person who's in charge of it. It's just some people that go to a campground from a certain time to a certain time, and even that's not very certain. You could come sooner or go later or whatever, right? It's just what some people have
read. There's rumors out there that ForkFest is still going on today.
Well, actually, apparently, it wasn't ForkFest, but it is in the news that there are some people that showed up to Burning Man, even though it was canceled. So,
nice. Yeah, that's good to see.
I was really glad to
hear that. I saw that coming with Sturgis. There is such
They canceled it way back. Burning Man was canceled in, like, May or April. Yeah.
Yeah, because I knew the Sturgis people were going to show up. I mean, I've hung out
like
with
awesome.
some motorcycle enthusiasts, and like there's just like this rich tradition of like, no, this is what we do.
We do what we want.
We always do this, and there's a. I mean, it's hard to get more independent than my way of conveying myself from A to B is a one seat ride. I mean, that's yep. about as much physical expression of independence as you can really get.
And you don't have any walls around you. You're exposed to all the elements.
I'm surprised to see it from Burning Man, mostly because it tends to be a politically left thing. I mean,
yeah.
it really has to do with the personality type. It's a very high openness to new experience, openness to aesthetics. So it tends to fall on the sort of political left spectrum.
Well, the supermajority of them did stay home.
Mm.
The article from sfgate.com only cites hundreds of dedicated burners that attended. So that's way less than the normal 50,000 to 70,000 people that attend the Burning Man Festival. So these are the people who went despite the fact that the official event was not happening.
Did they actually set the man on fire?
I don't know what all things they did. There's actually not a lot. There's not a lot in the story actually about what transpired, but they do mention that there were some people there.
Is it really Burning Man if they didn't, or is it just people hanging out?
They probably brought a broom and set it on fire.
And I mean, there's plenty of places that have like so-called local burns that have nothing to do with the Burning Man Corporation.
Right.
And from what I understand, they change the place of Burning Man every year, which kind of cuts both.
No, it's in the Black Rock Desert.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it in the same place every year?
Yeah. No, I think it started on a beach in San Francisco, if I recall correctly, back in the mid-1980s, but at some point they moved to the Black Rock Desert, and it's been there ever since.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
That does cut both ways in the fact that like you can be shut down if it happens in the same place every year. And
no, they do it with government permission.
Right.
See, that's one of the problems with Burning Man, is they go through the Bureau of Land Management in order to get permission and pay whatever fees. Yeah, that kind of the original BLM. They pay whatever arbitrary fees that BLM demands that they pay. They follow whatever arbitrary rules that BLM demands that they follow. And the rules, of course, get more egregious as time has gone on. They have to allow the police in there, for instance. So they could have Burning Man on private property and then have even more, I would say, leeway to do things that they otherwise might not be able to do. But, yeah, it's Bureau of Land Management controlled. And that, so we're going to go to your calls and your thoughts. You can bring up anything you want, whether it's Burning Man or the lady with the hole in her throat. Totally just sad, shocking story there. Robert in South Carolina, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, please, sir. I'd like to know, the thing that really concerns me about investing in Bitcoin or any other of these currencies is the safety. In other words, how do we know that the people who are in control of this suddenly expand the money supply to take out money for themselves in a kind of a way and then leave us with money that has been cheapened by the fact that the money supply has been substantially expanded to the benefit of those who got money out of the system without really...
You mean like the Federal Reserve notes in your wallet right now?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Right. A legitimate concern.
It is. However, it kind of illustrates a fundamental misunderstanding of what this is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, with cryptocurrency, I'm one of the more layman on this one, mm-hmm. even though I did read the paper on it. But so with ordinary currencies as we know them today, you have a central issuing entity, usually a country.
Government.
Yeah. You could theoretically central do this bank. With like a credit card system or something like that. But yeah, you have a government that issues the currency out there. Now, with this, you don't have any kind of central planning with it. What you have is a set of code that everyone who runs this code is all running the same code if they're going to have the same currency. And it has a programmed in way of having a very specific amount over a specific time period that gets brought into circulation. And unlike all of the centrally planned currencies, there's a specific cap. There will only ever be, I think it's 21 million Bitcoin.
Now, that's true with Bitcoin, but it's not true with all cryptocurrencies. So as I understand it, Monero, for instance, does not have a cap.
It does
can
not.
Just keep on in
it
play.
It does not.
And couldn't the Bitcoin cap theoretically be reprogrammed?
It theoretically could be
so
raised.
It could be.
Now
I think they'd lose a lot of business.
Well,
that's
the thing. If they did that, because almost no one considers this to be a possibility, but it is a possibility if they decided, all right, we're going to double the cap, maybe 42 million Bitcoin. And, in fact, we're going to make it come out twice as fast, right? Because right now it's one block is mined every 10 minutes. Now the blocks are the data that the miners sort of put onto the blockchain being the publicly visible ledger that has all the transactions that the history of Bitcoin's ever had. Well, if all of a sudden tomorrow they say, okay, coming up in 1 month, we're going to hard fork Bitcoin, because that's what they have to do to change this. They have to do what's called a hard fork, meaning they're changing a fundamental portion of the software, and in order for Bitcoin to work in the future, or for you to work with Bitcoin, you have to upgrade to that new software. But some people are going to be like, we want it to be 21 million, and we're going to keep going with 21 million.
I'm going to be in that crowd.
The new people, the other guys are going to say, well, we're going to do 42 million, and then Bitcoin splits.
So one more variation of Bitcoin.
Yeah, and so you can still have the original 21 million Bitcoin, and that may be the one that's valued higher by the marketplace, or maybe not.
Would.
Or maybe not. Thanks for the call, Robert. I appreciate it. But yeah, that's the important thing, is you can know what the inflation rate is of these cryptocurrencies. You can predict that to some extent. With the federal government, you can't predict any of that.
So when we brought him home, we didn't realize that Bear, the rescue dog, was actually sick. He had very flaky skin. He was dropping a lot of fur. And the vet wanted to do steroid injections, special dog food. Nothing seemed to work. So I was at a dead end.
DinoVite.com.
I've been hearing DinoVite on the radio for years. It never actually crossed my mind to try it until it finally sunk in. Oh, you're talking about hair and skin. And all right, I'll try it. Well, it took probably 6 weeks, but after we started using DinoVite, no more flaky skin. It doesn't scratch and itch, and I started to put weight on.
DinoVite is nutrition.
I wish that we would have started the DinoVite right away. It would have been so much easier.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
Every rescue dog in America deserves DinoVite for 90 days.
DinoVite.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Get ready. That's the word from U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams. He says states should be prepared to distribute a COVID-19 vaccine this fall in case one is ready. He spoke to ABC News Friday. Adams said they were always hopeful for a vaccine by the end of this year or the beginning of next year.
It's not just about having a vaccine that is safe and effective. It's about being ready to distribute it, because what I would hate is for us to have a vaccine, but it still not get to the people who most need it.
Public health officials across the country were asked to prepare to distribute a vaccine by late October or early November. Johns Hopkins University reported Saturday that there have been more than 6.2 million coronavirus cases and more than 188,000 deaths from the virus since the pandemic began. Officials in some states have urged people to continue social distancing this holiday weekend. And don't forget that mask. This is USA Radio News. More than 200 people were rescued so far by National Guard helicopters in California as the Creek Fire moved towards campgrounds in the Sierra National Forest. The Madera County Sheriff's Office said on Facebook that 20 people were transported to local hospitals. Meantime, the Fresno County Sheriff issued an evacuation warning for the entire Shaver Lake area in the forest. The Creek Fire consists of three wildfires. The blaze in the forest broke out Friday night and had burned 36,000 acres by Sunday morning. Novak Djokovic was DQ'd out of the U.S. Open. The top-seeded tennis star was defaulted from his fourth-round match after he accidentally hit a line judge with a tennis ball. It happened as he walked to the sideline for the changeover. Djokovic smacked a ball behind him. The ball hit a female line judge who dropped down at the back of the court. The default was announced after a discussion with officials on the court. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Yeah! It's Free Talk Live. Edition of the show. You're invited to join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. You can hop into one of those. In fact, somebody's in one of those rooms right now. We're going to get to him here shortly. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And
this Mountaineer.
And Richard Rich.
We're going to
interrupt it, cow.
I'm sorry.
Your phone calls and thoughts. Rat Speed is on our Discord call-in lines, calling from the internet. You're on Free Talk Live.
Greetings. Yes. So I was at dinner at the time that you received those two calls about Cloudcoin, and
a highly questionable, highly suspect website that is
dun, dun, dun.
Pitching some sort of Bitcoin topping best of kind of thing that's not a crypto, that's sort of sounding like a crypto, but it's not at all. It seems like a crypto.
Better than.
It looks really, really suspicious. What did you learn about it?
So, okay. From a technical standpoint so far, and I went ahead and read the white paper, which has virtually no technical, real nitty-gritty technical, okay, here's how to do it.
So it's easy for the layman to just understand.
It does show what one of the pieces of information, the packet, would look like, mm-hmm. or what does look like, because apparently it does exist. It doesn't explain a couple of things, but I did notice there were some major differences. The first difference is that I noticed is that instead of it using GPG, which is the GNU... What does that say for again?
It's a variant on PGP, right? Pretty good privacy.
Yeah, pretty good privacy was proprietary, and it was made and licensed. GPG was the reverse engineered hack that was created to make it open source.
Gotcha. GNU is pretty good or something like that.
Right, exactly. So that is kind of like the basis for the cryptography behind Bitcoin and many other cryptocurrencies. What this does differently, apparently, instead of using cryptography, what it uses is a, they make a big deal about it being able to, like, embed this 128-bit code into a JPEG, which...
It's a picture
file. In my opinion, is inconsequential because you can inject any kind of, you know, hash into any kind of file. It could be a text file. It could be a block of granite for all we care, as long as that code is in there. So what this uses is originally was created by Microsoft. It's called Globally Unique Identifiers, which is the Microsoft version of universally unique identifiers, which is a 128-bit number, which was one of it's the way that DNS server requests are identified. So instead of using GPG, it's using the technology that "quote unquote," the cloud works on, which I think is where they came up with the name CloudCoin.
Okay.
In the white paper, they use the word cloud a lot, which in my opinion,
like a buzzword, sounds secure.
It's a buzzword
because no one's ever gotten their pictures hacked off of the cloud.
No. Never.
They're using it in an erroneous way too. They're using it as a synonym for remote computer server.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're saying is that there are many quote-unquote clouds out there, which what they're referring to is there are many computers out there that are part of this network.
Well, isn't that... wait a minute. Yeah. Isn't a cloud a remote computer, you know, a remote server?
All
somewhere?
Cloud means is someone it else's is. Computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the word cloud in general usually means the network itself. So I guess what you...
No.
Really? Yeah, yeah. In the cloud, you know, it lives, quote-unquote, in the cloud. It's kind of like a way of saying it.
Well, when I send a thing to a cloud-based service, it's going to another computer somewhere in a rack somewhere. It's not like going to... Yeah.
It's a marketing term for the internet. Mm-hmm. It's a way to kind of... It's like the same way between, you know, PDA versus smartphone. It's basically...
I mean, you could say that it means... You could say that cloud, the concept, means out there, not in your computer, but out there is another server. So it's not wrong to say that it's another server. But go on with the analysis.
Well, it reminded me a lot of how Dash works. Dash with supernodes, how they have nodes that are, like, identified and trusted.
Okay,
and
so
those trusted nodes are on the network that are owned by a stakeholder. And the stakeholder is defined in Dash as someone who has invested beyond a certain amount. So in other words, if you have stake in this currency, you have more say in the network. And therefore, you can run one of these super nodes on the Dash network. It kind of reminds me of that. So immediately, the first question that I started asking myself is, who owns these computers?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started looking a little bit more into it. So this array of computers, array of quote-unquote clouds that they say counteracts counterfeit GUIDs, in other words, like it basically it's like a gatekeeper, a network of gatekeeping computers to make sure that the money that you have is not counterfeit.
And who's running these computers?
Ah, that's the big question. That's what I'm really trying to get down to the bottom of.
Hold on. I'd like to chime in here with the completely illiterate question. So I don't know a GUI from a sticky, so these pictures that are a code that's 128 or whatever bits, it's all stuff that's stored on someone else's computer, right? It's not something that's distributed in, like, whoever wants to join, but it's, like, in a particular computer somewhere, right?
That's another question. That's kind of like two questions put into one.
Well, actually, they both one time.
A JPEG can have metadata injected into it. Mm-hmm. So you can have, you know, ASCII characters, or you can have text characters embedded into a JPEG, mm-hmm. kind of like, and I've thought about this
but
for
like
years.
But like what it codes
like, oh,
for
okay.
is held on someone else's computer, right?
The idea is that you hold this JPEG, and the JPEG apparently has a password, and the password is what unlocks that JPEG if you want to trade the currency that's quote-unquote embedded into this JPEG.
I mean, it sounds like a bank account on a less secure system.
Okay. So
like with a bank account, like I've got my username, I've got my password, and that lets me get into a certain part right. of their computer.
I feel like there's going to be some big reveal coming.
On the very okay, I don't ever reveal, but I definitely have something that gave me pause, mm-hmm. okay? It doesn't necessarily mean, okay, don't do this, don't use this thing, but it's definitely making me think I need to investigate this a lot more. On the white paper, it had a link at the bottom, and the link, what was the text of the link? Let me see here. The rationale behind it says, so they call this system of clouds, they call it a RADA. RADA, RAID means redundant array of blah, 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 okay? Basically, it's a way of checksumming or making sure that information isn't corrupted. I guess it could be considered a way of handling the two generals problem sort of thing. I ask, okay, who owns these computers? This piece of text here says the RADA is not owned or controlled by any entity and cannot be destroyed. But I went ahead and clicked on the link. It goes to RADATech.com, and close to the bottom of it, it shows the name of the founder and CEO, the guy that's basically appearing on all these shows like Coast to Coast and everything. And the text at the very end of this paragraph says, Worthington hopes to license his technology to central banks because it is the best possible currency that will save hundreds of billions in costs associated with physical cash.
Okay. So only might they steal your money, but they're working with central banks.
That's all you need to know there because if he's licensing it, that means it's closed source, right?
Well, we already knew that.
Well, that's the thing. So there's peer... They have some source code on GitHub.
They do have a GitHub, but what is all that?
It looks like these are the clients, and if you want to run like a node or something, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're controlling it.
Right.
It doesn't say whether or not everything has been mined already, you know, pre-mined, like some cryptocurrencies do. It doesn't say whether or not it can be centrally controlled.
There's some huge question marks, some risks
that they might raid your account.
Yeah.
But you can still pick up CloudCoin for pennies, so
it might be worth 2 whole cents.
He could be infiltrating from the inside.
I would say beware. Highly beware of this. Ratsky, thanks for looking into it, man. Appreciate your summary. We got more coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. We invite you to join us here. Toll free number if you want to get on the radio, talk about whatever's on your mind. It's 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Tonight it's Ian.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
We're going to go, of course, back to your calls. If you want to join us, you can bring up anything that happens to be on your mind. We are going to get into the story here, I think, now about Germany. And Peakless Mountaineer, you brought in a story tonight about some protests that have been going on there. People are getting a little fed up with this whole COVID crackdown out in Germany, apparently.
Turns out. And this has been kind of a tricky subject to research. Like, it's really hard to find consistent information.
The media doesn't want to talk about this.
Number one, the media does not want to talk about it. Number two, when they do talk about it, it is always very, very like, this is these far right, crazy people. Mm. And, like, you can't even find a consistent number on, like, okay, how many people showed up to this thing? Because, like, okay, I've got one here that's actually dated from before the main protest on August 1st,
mm-hmm.
and it says 38,000 people. And then you go on to CNN, and, like, the main protest had 17,000 people, and it's like, that's a little hard to believe. And, like, you look at the pictures, and it's like, whoa, that is not a couple thousand people. Like, it is just streets packed with it, which was where I ran into this in the first place. I just, like, you know, someone sent me this picture of what's going on in Germany and, like, didn't get back to me on what was going on. And it's like, what the heck are these people doing? Like, just this massive, massive protest where just cross streets, just absolutely jam-packed with people. And the media is silent.
Now, was this after Germany outlawed protests? Didn't they recently ban protests?
Yep. Yeah, I've actually got two stories here. Mm-hmm. The first one I wanted to go into quickly, this is from the 26th of August.
Okay.
And it's Berlin bans protest against coronavirus curbs.
That's right. Just asking for a protest.
You can go out and protest other things. You just can't protest coronavirus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there's almost like that. There's nowhere near the same issues with racism that exist in America in, say, the UK or in Germany. But if you want to go ahead and, you know, protest in favor of Black Lives Matter, I'm sure that
totally
you'll get the pat on the head for doing so.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to protest the coronavirus response, no, no, no. So that's they put out thousands of new police there to curb this protest.
Wow. Now that's not that different from what happened here in the United States in, for instance, California. I remember it was back in April, I think, when we did, was it the, I think it was around 420. It was right before 420. I think you showed up to this, Lee, where we went to Concord and we had a protest there. It was maybe about 15 people that that showed up. It was
the first one.
It was the first one that was before the big reopen New Hampshire protest that happened a couple weeks later with like 400 people.
Yeah, our very first one where we just barely cracked over that 10 people that was allowed to be in one place at the same time.
Yeah, so we did violate
the governor's
right
orders. To assemble up to 9 people, guys.
Yeah.
You have a right to assemble up to 9.
In retrospect, very necessary, right? All the people going like, why are you protesting? It's such a small thing. This is not worthy of protest yet. Look what it has morphed into. And aren't you glad? Wouldn't it have been better if 400 people showed up to that very first one, or 4,000 people to that very first one, saying like, no, 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 even though it's a little bit, we've had enough already.
They might have left the beaches open if that had happened.
Maybe.
I don't consider it to be a little thing, though. I mean, telling people they can't associate with one another is a huge thing to me.
Oh, absolutely.
Understood. But the pushback from the other side of things was, just stay at home for 2 weeks.
Right.
This is not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
This will pass.
That was a really big part of why the turnout was so low and why people didn't see it as a huge issue. Because originally this was sold to all of us as 2 weeks, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Look, there's this virus. It's got an incubation period of about 2 weeks. So we just want everyone to stay home for 2 weeks. And then this will pass by without being a big thing.
And then you protesters have to go out there and super spread this thing to everyone in town.
All 15 of us, yeah.
I feel like we went, first of all, I didn't care about the whole two-week thing. I don't believe anything that the government says generally, so I don't recall us waiting 2 weeks to go protest, but I think it was after 2 weeks.
Was it?
When we went. I think it wasn't well attended simply because I'm not very good at putting events together like that. I don't have the networking ability or the influence to really get that many people to come out to. I know people give us a lot of credit because we're on the radio, but we can barely get people to donate to the Free Talk Live AMP program, and that doesn't require a physical showing up in reality. So I was actually pleased with 15 people. Like I was wondering if we were going to crack 10.
For as few people as in New Hampshire and as much support as the government oppression had at the time.
That's right. Yeah, I thought it was good.
And that's the thing. Like, you see this over and over and over throughout history where, like, it's the whole boiling frog thing where they get the thin edge of the wedge and everyone welcomes that first step into totalitarianism and then, oh, well, they just widen that out a little bit more. I mean, it's the old, you know, once the camel's nose is in the tent, that camel is going into the tent.
Yep. Well, and that's another thing about the increased support that the protesters have at this point, 6 months in, right? It's people have been worn out and given up on the whole government mandate, not necessarily that they had a shift in principled position and going like, no, 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 this has always been wrong. This was wrong from the beginning. It's like, no, we're just sick and tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They've been worn out into submission.
And that's always the risk for people that are willing to stand up for the principle rather than the action. Because, like, okay, it might be a small thing that they're asking, a seemingly little insignificant kowtow to the government.
Just 2 weeks.
Right. But it never stops there.
No.
I mean, if you look at, the income tax, it's a temporary small thing that will only affect the upper 10% of the country. Ever. And we just need it for this world war. We'll peel it right back off once the war is over.
Passports were a wartime initiative.
That's right. They're still here.
Yeah. I mean, these days you can barely get on a plane without, you know, special identification.
Don't forget you gotta have a mask now.
Right. So, yeah, and that's always the trouble when you are standing on principle and protesting these things is that, oh, look at these nutcases. I mean, they're just asking this tiny little thing for us. But honestly, it's those people that kept so many of these things from getting enormous is that there was some pushback, even at the very beginning, is what let them know, oh, we can't get away with going whole hog on this.
Right.
So they'll switch their efforts over to some other terrible thing.
And that's what's happened so far. And there has been some pushback, and it did get bigger after that first event. But, you know, it hasn't, like, kept up a real momentum or anything like that. The Reopen New Hampshire events, I think they had three of them.
And well, because now it's reopened with restrictions.
And right. Is that okay with people? Is that, like, enough? Is that satisfying to them? I mean, there's certainly been the mask freedom events that have been happening. That's sort of been the resurgence, I guess you could say, of the protest scene here in New Hampshire. Within the last month, there's been a protest in Plymouth, New Hampshire, which is a college town. There was one in Keene that followed that in the middle of August. Just recently, the same group was out in Portsmouth, I believe, and Weirs Beach. So there have been, and in our case, there was about 100-plus people, maybe like 120 or so people here in Keene. I heard there was maybe 45 or so recently in Manchester. So, like, there are still some things that are happening out there, but right. It's like people don't know what to do.
Well,
you know?
The pro-mask side, right, they go like, well, I was going to wear the mask anyway because this is for my health and my safety, so it doesn't matter if the government mandates it because I was going to do it anyway. And therefore, they don't care to push back.
And that's exactly the difference. If you have the principle of, yeah, I was going to wear the mask anyway, but don't tell me to. If you have the actual principle of, I will do this of my own free will. And this is something that you see just over and over in so many different ways. Like, right now there's this whole, like, push for anti-racism, and the government needs to mandate that you stop being so racist, and the government needs to mandate this, and it's like, okay, I was planning on being anti-racist anyway. I think it's stupid, just unimaginably stupid, not to mention terribly inefficient in a just cold-blooded, cynical way. But if you mandate this, if you force me to hang out with these people, there's no virtue in it. I'm not going to appreciate those relationships as much as I would if it was by my choice.
Well, now,
and the same with
it
welfare.
It hasn't been
like,
mandated. I mean, it hasn't been mandated.
Well, and that's the thing.
You mean
the racist, anti-racist thing?
And that's the thing. Like, there are a lot of people that consider it a courtesy to others to wear these masks. And, you know, you can feel a virtue from doing that. But once the government forces you to do it, even if
there's
it
no
was
virtue.
A virtuous
yeah.
thing, they have taken the virtue from you by forcing it.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that welfare takes the virtue of charity from people by mandating.
The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. Well, whether it's mandated or not, I'm not participating in it. And if somebody doesn't like it, they should stay home because it's not my job to keep other people safe. And their my freedom doesn't end where their fear begins. I like that line. I saw that on one of the signs at the various different events. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. If you want to live in fear, that's your problem. You got to deal with it. Hour 3 is next. It's Free Talk Live.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now's your chance to be part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream, for everyone to use it in everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that's as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more, and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.